Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 851, and we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for the blessing it is to be in your word day by day. Please teach us from Ecclesiastes 3 to trust you in every season of our lives, and write this chapter in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it so that people will fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts are the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to the one place. All are from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward, and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for this is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will come after him? Ecclesiastes 3. This is such an important passage. Of course, the opening part of this is probably the most famous poem, most famous passage in all of Ecclesiastes, one of the most famous in all of Scripture. The Birds, 60s folk band, had a hit song with this, by basically taking these words from Ecclesiastes 3 and turning them into a song called Turn, Turn, Turn. To everything there is a season, turn, 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 and a time for every purpose under heaven. And then they sing Ecclesiastes 3. Now, they're singing that as a hope that it's time for peace. But God had brought the Vietnam War, and that's what he had ordained for his purposes, right? There's a time for everything. God has a time and a season. God is sovereign over all. Does that mean that we can figure it out? No. He's very clear that we can't. He says, I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. And there's three things to be learned here. One, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So God is sovereign over everything, and everything that he does has a good and beautiful purpose when he orders it. Second, he has put eternity into man's heart. Third, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So these three truths are very central to the whole message of Ecclesiastes. Can I speak? It's also very central to the whole meaning of the Bible and to understanding how to live life of faith. God orders everything. He's sovereign. He's in control. We need to give thanks to him in all circumstances. God doesn't say give thanks to him in happy circumstances. He says give thanks to him in all circumstances. In fact, Philippians 4 calls us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And Paul writes that from prison, where he doesn't know if he's going to be executed for preaching Jesus or not. But he can still say rejoice because he has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also put eternity into our hearts, which means we know that there's more than just this life under the sun. We know that we're created for eternity. And yet, even though we know God is sovereign over everything in this world, and even though we know we are created for eternity, we cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We don't understand the scope of God's sovereignty. It is beyond us. So with those three things, what are we to do? Well, be joyful and do good as long as you live. Eat, drink, take pleasure in your work. This is God's gift to you. Don't try to figure out the mysteries of the universe that are way beyond your comprehension. Rejoice, do good, eat, drink, take pleasure in your work. That's what God calls us to do. Seems simple enough. We get in over our heads because we always want to ask why. And we always insist on knowing more than we can possibly know. And so we're discontented and we're anxious. But if we would just take this to heart, you see, this is not, that's a paragraph that is not saying life is meaningless without God. It's saying that in this life under the sun, God has made everything beautiful in its time. We know this is not our final home. We're made for eternity. We can't figure out everything about life. And so let's rejoice that God is good. Let's do good. And let's eat, drink, and take pleasure in our work. Everything God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. This means this, okay? If you're truly doing God's will, the work he's given you to do, even if it doesn't seem like anything is coming of it, he is accomplishing what he means to accomplish of it, and what he is doing in it and through it will endure forever. And you may not ever see it in this life. You may not ever see how someone else is blessed or moved or touched for eternity through the work that you do, but God's work endures forever. We can't work extra hard and add to it. And if we don't think anything's coming from it, that doesn't take anything away from it. God is doing it. God has done it. And he alone knows what he's doing. And our response is to fear before him. That is to live in awe and wonder and worship before him. Finally, he says to us at the end of this chapter, in the place of justice, there's wickedness. In the place of righteousness, there's wickedness. Isn't this true? The place of justice, that's the government, that's the court system, that's the legal system. And in that place, there is wickedness. If you can afford a good lawyer, you can buy your way out of a lot of things. In the place of righteousness, that's the church, state and church. Wickedness there too. Preachers who sin, church leaders who sin, Christians who sin grievously. What do we do with that? Well, say in your heart, God will judge between the righteous and the wicked. There is a time for every matter and for every work. God's going to do it. So God's testing us so that we can know our own limitations. Do not get big-headed and think that you're beyond sin. Do not get big-headed and think that you're powerful and mighty. I heard two guys on a YouTube video talking about how scientists are saying the first person to live to 1,000 years has already been born because medical technology is going to... No. I'm sorry. No. No. God will limit, and he seems to have set a pretty hard limit at 120 years. He said that after the flood. And do you know that all the longest people who've lived, all the oldest people who've ever lived, no one's really lived past 120? Not significantly, anyway. That's the hard cap that God puts on life. So people are not going to live to 1,000 years because of medical technology. We draw breath and we go back to the dust. Now in verse 21, he says this thing that sounds kind of skeptical. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? At the end of the book, in chapter 12, verse 7, he's going to say, yes, the spirit does return to God who gave it. But for now, what he's saying is, don't think that you're all that great, because Galapagos tortoises live longer than you. In fact, clams, quahog clams of the North Atlantic, live many, many, many times longer than human beings. Don't get a big head. In the light of eternity, we're all mayflies, here today, gone tomorrow. That should cause us to do what? Rejoice in the work that God's given us and trust God for what he's doing in it, because he is doing something and his work will stand forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you for your goodness to us. We don't deserve to be given good work to do. It comes from your grace. We're humbled by it and we're thankful for it. Help us to make the most of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Ecclesiastes 3. On to chapter 4 tomorrow, Lord willing. Hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.